It's been a while since I last preached, so I'm a bit rusty. Perhaps you can just turn to your neighbour and say, he's a bit rusty. No, it's okay, there's a point. No, don't worry, it's okay, there's a point. Now if you can turn the other way and say, it's all about Jesus really, so it doesn't matter. Thank you for your encouragement there guys. Because I was looking at that sign last week during worship, and it's true. It is all about Jesus. And if there's anything that we want you to get, those of you watching online, those of you here, what we want you to see is Jesus. It is all about Jesus, you know. And I've already been introduced. My name's Dan. I'm one of the leaders here at Christian Life Church. Tim asked me to teach about how to share the gospel this morning. And I thought the best way to do that was just to preach the gospel. So I'm going to do that. But several times over this series that we've been doing for the last year, we've had the scripture from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Many of you will know it well. For those of you that are new, those of you watching online for the first time, I'll just read it to you from the Passion Translation. Fantastic translation to go along with your Bible study, by the way, the Passion Translation. Here we go. So, Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Now, go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to be faithful, faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day. There's some of you that are listening right now, there's some of you are watching right now, you need to hear that bit. I am with you every day. I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. You know, this is why we talk about Jesus. This is why we sing to Jesus. This is why we raise our hands in worship. This is why we gather together in small groups. This is why it's Jesus, right? How many of you are excited about Jesus right now? Come on, show some of it. Show it. Come on. We share Jesus primarily. That's right. We share Jesus primarily because he told us to do it. And he told us to do it in this scripture. And what he says goes. It is so important for each one of us to know what it is that we believe. It's fundamentally important. And to translate it into our own language. Because many of us come from different backgrounds. Many of us work in different fields. Many of us have been brought up in different ways. Different cultures, even within the British culture. And it's so important that we translate what we believe to how we would speak. How it relates to us and our own life experience. We need to pay attention to the world around us. You see, I had an issue during the last lockdown. I've got to confess, I binged on Netflix. That's right, I'm going to NN Anonymous, although it's not so anonymous now, is it? Are we still on? Okay, and I binged on Netflix. I've been through so many series, it's unbelievable, okay? But the latest one that I just completed is one called Rust Brothers. It's a Canadian man. I love the Canadian people. It's fantastic, but he's bought thousands of cars and they are rusted, they are falling apart. He has got thousands to the point where his son is saying, Dad, please don't buy any more cars, you've got enough. And you see, what they do is they pick a car, that they go through the yard, they pick a car, they pull it out and they return it to what it was like in its heyday. And we get a little bit of a lesson about that. Oh, yeah, this is a Pontiac from 1970, and it was this and that. And it looks incredible. And then they flog it because they've got to make money. But they restore it. The goal is restoration. Well, you see, what I've discovered is when we look at the world around us, the message of redemption is there. It's everywhere if we just look. This Canadian guy, these Rust brothers, they're taking something that is broken. They're taking something that is on the rust heap and they're restoring it. They're redeeming it as if it was never on that rust heap, if it was never broken, giving it incredible value. And you see, that is a sign of redemption. That is a sign of what Jesus has done for us. It's everywhere. It's in Hollywood. It's in the movies. It's in the books. It's in our magazines. A friend of mine went to the Harry Potter exhibition somewhere. I don't know where it is, but they went to Harry Potter exhibition. And one of the information on there was that the screenwriters said that the story that they wrote, there was a theme of redemption kind of through the story of Harry Potter. You see, we are crying out for redemption. It's there. It's speaking to us. You know, many of us, I don't know about you, but many of us, we can live a life unsatisfied. We just seem to be unsatisfied. We've got these goals and we're trying to achieve them, or we've achieved them, but it hasn't brought us satisfaction. We may not put it this way, but it's like there's something missing. So we look for something to satisfy that dissatisfaction. And, you know, we look for redemption. We're looking for something to redeem us to that point where we don't have that dissatisfaction within us. Maybe if I just find my true love. I mean, Hollywood, Netflix, man, it's full of that. If I just find my true love, my perfect job, if I just win the lottery, I'll be able to just kind of do everything that I need to do. If I just get that dream house, you know, actually, you know, if I just upgrade from the two-bed to the three-bed, that's when I'll be happy. That's when I'll have satisfaction. If I could just move from rented to mortgaged, if I just had my own place, if I could just put my own stamp on it, that'll bring me happiness. That'll satisfy me. If I can just get into that university and study that one course, if I can just do that, if I can just get in there, if I can just get the grades to do that, then I'll be happy. If I just change careers, you know, if I can just, you know, change jobs. If I can just get that job, then, you know, I'll be satisfied. I'll be happy. Or maybe if I just don't work at all. Maybe if I just travel around the world. If I can just travel around the world, you know, get that ticket, travel around the world, then I'll have some satisfaction. That long ago then I'll be happy. If. There's so many ifs. There is a hunger in us to improve ourselves, right? Look at all the top-selling books that have been in W.H. Smith's and other book providers out there. You know, it's all about improving ourselves. If we just have the right diet, if I can just be the right weight, if I can just be the right weight, if I can just have six packs like Dan, if I can just have a six pack like him, I'll be okay. I'll be fine. I'll have that satisfaction. I'll have that happiness. There's this desire that we're longing for. And it seems like finding happiness is the holy grail. The thing that will redeem us. That is the holy grail. It seems to be the holy grail at the moment. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying we can't have these things. I'm not saying that we can't be happy. But what I am saying, folks, is this. And those of you listening online right now, what I am saying is that you will not fill that void with anything else other than Jesus. You know, when you look at the world today, when you turn on the TV, okay, or open up your Facebook feeds or whatever is the latest social media trend at the moment, you can see that the world is broken. We can see that. Just have to look at what's going on in Afghanistan in the last couple of weeks. The world is broken. There is a lot of death. We know there's a lot of disease, folks. When I last preached about there being a lot of disease, we didn't even have a COVID. There's disease everywhere. There's suffering everywhere. Bad stuff happens. Bad stuff happens to good people. Starting with the very first book of the Bible, we see in Genesis, the book of beginnings. So at the beginning, we see that God created the world. Everything in the world was perfect. God's original design was not broken. There was no death. There was no COVID. There was no disease. There was no suffering. And humans, the human race, we lived in harmony with God. We had relationship with God. There was no distance between us. I think another way of putting it is there was peace with God and mankind. There was peace. However, the very first people messed up. Now, I don't know if some of you might remember, I did this, I've got it in my bag somewhere, but this little track that you can get from the entrance area which has the pictures that are going to come up on the screen and online. We can post it to you, email us, we can post the track to you. But it's a track that can be put into your wallet, your handbag, your man bag, your pocket, wherever, which will help you to remember if anyone ever asks you what Jesus is and how you come to Jesus and how can you get to know Jesus, this is how you do it. You follow these pictures. Doesn't have to be the exact wording. And in groups this week, we'll get you to be looking into that. Okay, so the first slide will come up in a mo. So the first people in Genesis messed up. They messed up. And we ended up being separate from God. So as you can see in the picture, there's poor mankind on their own. Big chasm, God. You see, God didn't just give humans the job of looking after our planet. Okay, he also gave us free will. No, that's not a giant whale that a little boy saves. Okay, free will. Okay, in other words, we have the freedom to choose. We get to choose to listen to him or not. And how many of you, I don't know whether you saw this morning, those of you online certainly wouldn't have seen, my children have free will. And in fact, they ejected themselves out of the main hall 4 times during the worship. He had free will, you know. And it's just like, God, thanks for free will. But really, in this moment, I just want them to sit there, you know. But we are given free will. God, our Father, has given us the freedom to choose, the freedom to listen or not. We were never designed to be puppets. He loves us so, so much that he wants us to choose him. Very much like when we raise children. We love them. But we put strong boundaries in place, don't we? Even though we love them. Do not touch the fire. Please don't run out the main hall. You know, we put boundaries on our children, don't we? To help them grow and learn. But in the long run, we teach them independence, don't we? And we hope that through teaching, caring for them, showing them love, teaching them healthy boundaries, teaching them independence, we hope in the long run that when they're sort of 18, 19, 20, they'll choose to love us still, right? So God gave us healthy boundaries in the Bible. He gave us free will. His hope is that we would choose him. But regrettably, the first people, they chose to go against God's guidance, to leave God's perfect design, to live a life separate from God, and that led them into brokenness. And we can see that in the next slide, can't we? You just turn to your neighbor and say, brokenness. If you're home alone, just shout it at the screen. It's fine. We're with you. You see, this departure from God's design in the church, in the Bible, going their own way, we call that sin. We call that sin. So it's choosing to go our own way. It's choosing not to follow what God has said. We call that sin. Many of you I know to be students of life. So students of the real world. So I'm just going to be real with you. I know this is a safe place to do that. People make bad decisions. I know that because I've done that over the years. And the truth is, these bad decisions have consequences, right? They have consequences. And sometimes these consequences, they don't just affect the person that's made the choice, but they can affect the people around them. They can affect people they don't even know. Family members, future generations. You could say that some of us are born into the consequences of the bad decisions of our family members from the past. Some of us. Not all of us, but some of us, right? Look, some of you guys must have watched Jeremy Kyle. You know, come on. We can see that people make bad decisions that end up affecting future family members. Well, that's why the Bible says we're born into brokenness. We know it in real life. We've seen it in real life, haven't we? How the consequences of others can affect us. How the consequences of our parents, our grandparents, or the parents before that can affect us. Well, that's why the Bible says we were born into sin. We were born into brokenness. Because Adam and Eve made a mistake. and we pay the consequence of that mistake. We are born into the consequences of the first humans. And just as future generations will have to live with the climate issues that we decide and choose on now, they don't have a say. We are born into sin, and our lives, and we're born into a world of brokenness. And the problem is, we don't always know it. I don't know about you, but for the first 21 years of my life, I didn't really kind of pay attention to that. Didn't really kind of give that a thought. We just allow life to happen, right? Sometimes we can be on the conveyor belt of life, just going for whatever we're going for and not pay attention to what's going on around us. We just allow life to happen and then we react to it. But the truth is, the broken world needs redemption. I need redemption. You need redemption. Those of you watching online right now or on catch-up, you need redemption. Just as I mentioned earlier, we're all looking for it in some way, shape, or form. We're crying out deep within our souls. We don't like to stay in this brokenness. We want to get out of it as quickly as we can. We want to try and escape it. Here's some of the things I didn't mention right at the beginning. We try to escape it with success. If I can just be successful enough. You know, I've been watching the Olympics, and that's been fantastic to watch, and I'm really proud of our nation for really giving it some this time round. But some of them, their whole identity is, right, all I've wanted to be is the best in the world. And it's great, and we celebrate that, but that's not the meaning of life. That's not going to fill the void, the brokenness. So we try to climb the success ladder, thinking that'll be what'll get us out of brokenness. That will bring us happiness. Other ways we look to redeem ourselves is, you know, we'll get Instagram famous. If I can just get Instagram famous, that'll be success. Fame, that's the thing that I need, fame. But then we see all the famous people, once they're famous, trying to run away from everybody because they don't want to be famous anymore, because they realize, I've got a ton of money, but I'm stuck within the four walls of my home and I can't go out. I watched a video just on YouTube this morning of poor Lewis Hamilton trying to go to the corner shop in his Ferrari, you know, for whatever. He'd obviously forgotten milk or something. And there was like 100 people just all over him. We look for recognition. If I can just make people happy, if I can just be accepted by the people around, if I can just make people happy, well, I love to serve. My whole life is about service. So if I can just make everybody happy, if I can just get a pat on the back, well done, good boy, good guy. Well done, you're doing a great job. We look for recognition, the acceptance of our peers. Well, you know, if they say, somebody famous over there that's really good at what they do in your field, and you're thinking, wow, if only they can just say, well done. Maybe it might be that we're looking for, you know, acceptance from a father that's been so distant, or we're just looking for that to be the thing that will bring us happiness, be the thing that will fill the void. The acceptance of our peers. Others try to be religious. I can just fill this void. If only I can just empty myself entirely. If I just empty myself entirely so I cannot feel anything, I can be enlightened, and that'll be the thing that will bring me acceptance. That'll be the thing that will bring my happiness. That'll be the thing that will fill this void. That will be the thing that redeems me. Or if I can just do all of these good deeds, if I can just do all of these and somehow I'll get up the pecking order and that'll be fine. If I can just do all these good deeds, that'll be the thing that will redeem me. That'll be the thing that will bring happiness. That'll be the thing that will bring satisfaction. But you see, when we get there, there was always more. I remember working in the bank. I was a bank manager for a retail bank. And I saw a lot of people. I saw single parents struggling on the breadline, you know, just keep trying to extend their overdraft to try and kind of just feed their children, to absolute millionaires that have just made it. I've seen them all. And I can tell you, the more you have, the more you want. It's not the same for everybody, but it's the same for a lot of people. The more money you have, the more things you want to get. Okay, I'll get a bigger house now. I'll get a bigger car now. Okay, right, and all of a sudden you find that the very little disposable income they had is just, they've got so much more to spend now, and they're spending so much more, and the disposable income is still limited. You know, they're just trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's a trap that we can fall into, but it does not bring us satisfaction.
God loved us so much. There's good news, by the way. I will preach some good news in a minute. But I'm just trying to paint a picture here, okay? The fact of the matter is God loved us so much that he didn't want us to stay in this brokenness. And that is the key. He did not want us to stay in the brokenness. He sent his son Jesus down into our world and allowed him to die on the cross, taking our sin, taking our punishment and sin. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he declared that if anyone would be willing to turn from their way and surrender to him, to make him the king of their life, they would be forgiven of all of their sins. He would forget that we have lived a life our own way. Gone are our rusty days of brokenness. And here we are restored to relationship with God, peace with God. Can we have that slide up, please, Josh? The one with the cross. There we go. You see, true lasting happiness, ultimate acceptance, our purpose in life, is to have a relationship with the person that created us. With the person that created us. For him to lead us. And you know, what's interesting, you may hear the prosperity gospel, come to Jesus, your life will be perfect. Come to Jesus, you'll be rich. The truth is, he doesn't promise us an easy life. He doesn't promise us wealth. But what he does promise us is that we'll be with him. And he'll be with us. You see, I know this to be true. Having been through a storm myself this last 12 months, you know, I've come to realize that God does not promise us that there won't be storms. But what he promises us is that he'll hold our hand all the way through. And for some of you that are like, well, I'm a man, I don't need my hand holding. Yes, you do. We all do. We all need him. He carries us through. He doesn't let us go. He is our peace. He is the center of our lives. He is the purpose that we're alive. Everything else in life is a bonus other than Jesus. Everything else in life is a bonus. For some of you listening this morning, for some of you listening online right now, live or on catch up, perhaps this is making total sense to you. Perhaps God is speaking to you right now. You see, my worldview is pretty simple. There are two types of people in this world. Those who still live in brokenness and live in life their own way. And those that through Jesus have returned to God and have peace with him and relationship with him. Those are the two types of people. And do you know the really amazing thing? God loves both of those. God loves both of those. I just got a real sense right now that there's somebody listening, that you've had a worldview that God is an angry God. You've messed up. You may even have had Christians judge you and point your weaknesses out, your issues out. But you see, I want you to know right now, God is not pointing your weaknesses out. God is not pointing your issues out. He's saying, son, daughter, I know where you're at right now. And I love you. And I love you. Come home. You see, here's my question for you today. Which of these two people are you? Which of these two people are you? And if you identify as the broken person today, like I've said, rest assured, God loves you. He loves you. His love isn't conditional to where you're at. Your life can be the biggest mess ever right now, or it can be as tidy as you like. There's still something missing, and that person is Jesus. He loves you no matter where you're at. So my next question is this. We'll be coming into land very shortly. Is there anything today that's keeping you from turning from your own way and turning to Jesus? Believing that he came and died on the cross and rose from the grave. Is there anything that is stopping you from making him king of your life right now? The boss of your life right now? If you've answered yes, come and talk to me afterwards. Send us a message, email us, Facebook, message us, wherever you are, wherever you're watching us. We want to connect with you. But if you answer no to my last few questions, then, and you want to change the direction of your life right now, then please, I'd ask you, if you're here in the meeting, stand up, respond. If you're watching online, send us a message, send us a private message, send us an email, hello@clch.cc. If you want to change the direction of your life right now, if you want to be that person that has acceptance and peace with God, forgiveness and relationship with our Creator, you can respond right now. You can respond right now. And I'm going to invite you to pray. And for those of you here, I just ask you to bow your heads. You don't have to do that when you pray, but it's just nice to focus, just to close our eyes. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, one similar to what I prayed on the 3rd of August 2001 when I gave my life to Jesus, when I decided to go from a life of brokenness separate from God, living my own way, to living a life following Him. So you can say this out loud, you can say it in your head. Doesn't matter if you're on catch up right now and this is a 10-year YouTube video, you can say it right now, it doesn't matter. Here we go. God, I'm sorry for my sin, that I left your design. I want to turn from my way and believe that you came, died on the cross, rose from the grave, and I want to make you king of my life right now and be forgiven. I receive you into my life in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say welcome to peace with God right now. Welcome to peace with God. Welcome to the family of God. You know, there's a party in heaven for every person that comes to follow Him. I can just imagine God right now in heaven dancing, saying, yes, one more. One more has come back. One more has chosen me. One more. One more. Where does that leave us? Those of us that have chosen Him. Where does that leave us? There was a phrase that the Holy Spirit kind of just nudged me from when I was sharing, and it's making Him king of my life. And even those of us that have chosen to follow Him in the past, we can sometimes forget that. We can sometimes allow circumstance, situations, bad stuff that happens to us to knock us off from that focus of the fact that He is the King. He is the King of our life. You know, I declare He is the King of my life, no matter what. No matter what. He is the King of my life. Is He still the King of your life? Don't be condemned, because if the answer is, well, actually, I've drifted a bit, that's fine. Come back to Him today. Put Him where He needs to be as King in your life. Put Him right there. Put Him right there. And there was something that also, as we were worshiping, as I was praying this morning about today's message, there's a real big amount of fear in the world right now. It's fear everywhere. People having a go at you if you've forgotten your mask in the supermarket, all this kind of stuff, right? There's a massive amount of fear. And I felt like Holy Spirit saying, Dan, I want you to speak into that this morning. So I just want to speak into it this morning. That, you know, yes, we're in a pandemic worldwide. Yes, we need wisdom. Yes, we need to be careful, but we mustn't allow fear to rule our lives. And I've got a real sense that, you know, that there's panic all around us. We have Jesus in our lives. Does that mean I'm going to wander around not wearing a mask? No, I'm going to be sensible and put a mask on. But if my motivation for what I do is based upon fear, then I'm building my house on the sand, because He who is in us is greater than this world. So I'm not bringing a conviction here or condemnation to you, but what I'm saying to you is, if you're finding yourself kind of sitting in the fear camp, just take a moment, say, God, help. You're my strength. Not going to be ruled by fear. Not going to be ruled by fear. We thank you, Jesus, that you give us wisdom. I'm just praying now. Thank you that you give us wisdom. Thank you, Lord God, you call us to do things that Father God, if you know, you call us to be obedient to the government as long as it doesn't contradict the Bible. So we want to do that. We want to be great citizens of this city, this county. But Father God, forgive us if we've allowed fear to take over our lives. Father, will you bring us back to that center, Jesus? Be our center. Lead us, guide us. And it may be you're watching online right now and fear is stopping you from coming and having community and fellowship. We've got plenty of areas you can social distance, wear a mask, that's fine, but we'd ask you, come, don't allow fear to stop you from coming. If your doctor said don't come, don't come. If you've got the symptoms, stay at home. But if not, we want to see you here. We miss you. We want to worship Jesus together. We want to speak into one another's lives. And then finally, have I got time? Am I okay? 5 minutes, is that all right? I've got time. You just turn to your neighbor and say, we've got 5 minutes. I don't know what he's going to do next. I'm just going to turn to myself and say, I don't know either. No, one of the things that's really key, whenever I read the Gospels, whenever I've seen the Gospel preached, Holy Spirit moves in power too. And I'm a believer in the Bible and us experiencing what the Bible says we're experiencing. We preach the Gospel, we've shared Jesus this morning. I'm sure there are people online that have responded because nobody stood up here, but that's fine. But we just want to pray for those that are sick. So if you're online right now, we'd ask you to PM us and we'll pray for you at a separate time because I can't see any messages here. Is there anybody here this morning that you want to be healed? There's something that you want prayer for. If you can just raise your hand for me, that would be great. And if you can keep your hand raised, okay, hands raised, if people can get around them but not touch them, okay, if you want to lay on hands, then you've got to ask first before you lay on hands. So guys, it's not about me praying a magic prayer here. I'm asking church family, if you feel comfortable, can you get around those that are raising their hands, get near them, point your hands towards them, whatever. And we're just going to pray right now. And I'm going to say a simple prayer just to guide us and for those online just to engage. So keep your hands up until people are around you, okay? And I felt very strongly this morning that if there's anybody with heart conditions, particularly heart conditions, I've got real faith to see that healed today. So we're gonna pray for all the sick, but also just going to highlight those with heart conditions. So simple prayer. We just command the sickness that is in your body to leave right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Those with heart issues, right now, I want to speak to your heart. And we want to say, be well in Jesus' name. Arteries unclog in Jesus' name. Strengthen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For those of you that have messaged online, those of you that have raised your hand virtually, we pray in Jesus' name that you will be healed. We command sickness and infirmity to leave your body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes what happens when we pray for the sick, when we step out like this, is that somebody gets healed within a week or two or even instantly. But we don't get told for months. And I'll be having like dinner with someone. They say, oh yeah, you know when you prayed back in 1954 for this? Well, I got healed. It's like, okay, we really love for you to let us know if you've been healed. Those of you online, if you've been healed, send us a message. We want to know why, so that we can encourage others. Because it's about what Jesus has done. It's not, oh, look at that incredibly good-looking guy who preached the gospel. He saw lots of people get healed and saved. No, it's not about that. Okay? It's about Jesus. And we want to just hold him up and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And maybe over coffee afterwards, for those of you that are here, maybe you've got a testimony, maybe you've got a story where you've been healed. Why don't you share it with somebody over coffee today or tea or whatever you're having? Maybe the next time you meet in life group that you perhaps share how you came to Jesus, because we want to hear your stories, because it's amazing what God has done and what God is doing. Hallelujah. I've been longer than that 5 minutes, but I'm finished. Are you? Yeah, okay. So we want to thank you for coming to Hereford this morning. We want to thank you for those of you online watching live or on catch up. It's been great hanging out. Let's continue to see what God will do as we come out of this lockdown. Okay. And don't forget, Jesus
It's all about him. Goodbye, for those of you online.